Our exposition this morning is going to be based on the portion of Scripture which was read to you from the 11th chapter of Mark's Gospel, beginning at the 27th verse. If I had the time for a full-length sermon, I think I would like to entitle my sermon on this text, Tuesday's Witness to Friday's Crime. The text begins with these words, "And they came again to Jerusalem, and as Jesus was walking in the temple, the chief priests and the scribes and the elders came to him. And they began saying to him, 'By what authority are you doing these things? Or who gave you authority to do these things?'" There we have it. Just as Holy Scripture records it, Tuesday's witness to Friday's crime. Friday they took him, and with wicked hands they nailed him to a cross. But Friday's crucifixion can already be detected in the ominous mood set in our text in Tuesday's confrontation. What began as a theological examination ended as a criminal execution. The mood of our text can be summed up in three brief words: dust defies deity. Man the creature says to God the Creator, "By what authority do you do what you do?" Depravity challenges divinity with this question: who gave you authority? Let's turn for a moment to these questions which the priests of the temple and the scribes of the Scripture and the elders of the people confront Jesus, the Messiah. By what authority are you doing these things? That is to say, what's the nature of your authority? What kind of authority is it? Or who gave you this authority to do these things? That is to say, what's the source of your authority? From whom did you receive it? Both in Matthew's parallel account and in Luke's, both of these questions are recorded. Now, I want you to note that in both questions, which challenge the authority of Jesus, that challenge is related to, quote, "these things," unquote, that Jesus did. So also, in the two replies in our text that Jesus gives to this challenge. In verse 29, Jesus says, "I will tell you by what authority I do these things." Again, in verse 33 of our text, Jesus says, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." Now, the crucial issue here in our text is not the identity of those things. The crucial issue is the significance of the things that Jesus did, whatever those things might be. Jesus once said of his person, "He that hath seen the Son hath seen the Father." Jesus said of his words, "My teaching is not mine, but his who sent me." It's the Father. And Jesus says of his works, "I showed you many good works from the Father." In short, the question, or two questions, the authority of Jesus in relation to these things which Jesus did is nothing short of questioning the very revelation of God Himself. And I'm certain that our Lord understood this question put to Him by the priests and the scribes and the elders in exactly that way. For this can be seen from His reply to this question. Jesus says to His inquisitors, I will ask you one question and answer me, and then I will tell you by what authority I do these things. Was the baptism of John from heaven or from men? These things, the works of the Son, the manifestation of the authority of divine revelation as manifested in the person and the words and the works of Jesus is what is at issue here. These things already have found their analog in the Old Testament, which comes to its rest in the ministry and the baptism of John the Baptist. Jesus Himself says, for all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. The issue of religious authority, the issue of divine revelation, the great from whom, according to our Lord Jesus, can be answered in only one of two ways. But it is not Jesus who is called upon to give the answer. Jesus gave His answer. Jesus was the answer. The works He did gave all the answer He needed to give. The question now must come as a confession from the lips of men. Note the simplicity of this issue of the authority of divine revelation. In the modern world, the church has made a monster out of this problem. Note the beautiful simplicity with which Jesus tackles this issue. He says in verse 29, I will ask you one question. Hena logon, one word, one thing, one matter, one question. And there it is. A simple, multiple choice, one question. And note the importance of the response that we're called to give. Jesus says twice, once in verse 29, answer me. He says it again in verse 30, answer me. The whole issue of the authority of divine revelation. Whether that revelation be in Jesus, whether that revelation be through John, whether that revelation be identified with the scriptures of the Old Testament, or whether that revelation be identified with the scriptures of the New Testament, whether that revelation be in scripture or in nature, resolves itself to this simple choice of origin. Is it from heaven or is it from men? The beauty of this pericope is its divine transparency, its perspicuity. It's either from heaven and therefore from the Father in heaven, or it's from men and therefore from sinful men. Here Jesus brings to rest the matter of the authority of divine revelation. And here that matter rests today, and here that matter will rest for all time. It makes no difference if you take out the chief priests and the scribes and the Pharisees and put in the second team, the higher critics, and the language philosophers, and the modern skeptics. It makes no difference at all. Here the issue of the divine authority of revelation has been met, and here it has been set by Jesus. And here the issue rests. It's either from heaven or it is from men. Now our text prompts us to go on and to consider the question of how men react to that challenge of Jesus. But time forbids that we continue. But this much we must say. How did Jesus's opponents react when Jesus told them it's either from heaven or it's from men? First, they have recourse to human reason in hopes of negotiating or moderating the sharp antithesis that Jesus puts to them. We read in verse 21, and they began to reason with one another. Secondly, they give expression to the emotion of hesitation which arises from the emotion of fear. They fear what people may think if they give a clear answer to this question. What shall we say? Shall we say from men? Boop! All reason stops there and emotion takes over. They were afraid of the multitude. And thirdly, they're finally forced to confess their own spiritual blindness and their own theological default in that phrase, we do not know. The true saints of God in every age have said with Saint Augustine and Saint Anselm, I believe that I might know. The chief priests, the scribes, the elders, and their modern counterparts do not believe either the baptism of John or the witness of Jesus. And therefore, they have ultimately no alternative but to confess also that they do not know. The choice that begins with the words, from heaven or from men, is a choice that ends in either faith or folly. Amen.